Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's nothing more annoying than podcast ads, right? If you want to listen to your favorite Saints podcast, the Saints Happy Hour podcast, ad-free, become a patron today and never have to listen to dumb ads ever again. As a $10 patron, you also get our booze bundle as a welcome gift to the Saints Happy Hour community. It includes a Forever Drew cup, a Crew de Taysom cup, a Saints Happy Hour beer koozie, and a Saints Happy Hour shot glass. Sign up today at saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight?
No.
The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Whew, what a weekend. Half the Saints team got hurt, including Drew. Drew has cracked ribs, deflated lung. He's, I don't know how he managed to throw a touchdown with a busted up lung. You'd think he'd be spitting up blood on the sidelines. But it was fun. They're 7-2, so can't be all negative. Dave, I'm drinking a beer tonight that was sent to us from a loyal podcast listener. Nick, He was nice enough. I hope you can see it. He bottled the beer, obviously, and he put the old Saints Happy Hour logo on the beer. What other Saints podcast has their own goddamn beer?
It's called Tears of a Falcon.
Yeah, because it's
Fate Week. For Falcon Hate Week.
Yeah, it's specifically brewed for this week, for Falcons Hate Week, and it's a. I'm going to have one in a little bit as soon as I finish this other beer that I'm having. But I had one the other day when we first got it. And I think the hibiscus tea is the in-your-face flavor there. And I think it also gives it a little bit of a red color, which is perfect because I feel like that's what the color of a Falcon's tears would be, since the Falcons are like red and black or whatever.
Here's the thing about Drew Brees. Now that we know – that he had multiple fractured ribs and a what was it? What did they call it, Andrew? A deflated lung or whatever?
the collapsed lung.
Collapsed lung. He had a collapsed lung. Everybody yesterday was like, man, Drew is so sad. Why is he? I've never seen him this sad. That's why he was so goddamn sad. Because he knew he had cracked ribs.
Because he couldn't breathe.
Because he couldn't breathe. And this is sad Drew after the game.
I'm just taking it one day at a time. I've done that this entire season. And I'll continue to do that. I'm not sure what tomorrow holds. But you can know I'm going to do everything I can to be as effective as I possibly can. Next week.
I had to boost that 350% to get it to a level where you could hear it because he was barely talking above a whisper. He was so despondent. But Dave, you were at the game giving us updates of the injury of Drew as it was happening.
I wasn't giving updates of the Drew injury. I was giving updates on all the other injuries, but I honestly thought that he looked fine. I didn't know what the hell was going on because after the hit in question where he got injured, he still went out there. He still handed it off to Kamara or whatever, did a little toss to Kamara for the touchdown. And then he was on the sidelines. He had his helmet on. He was, you know,
he was he was 5 for 6 on that 2 minute drill.
Yeah. Two scoring drives after getting his lungs and his ribs wrecked.
Yeah. But I went ahead and watched it again on TV. And I mean, obviously, yes, you can see he winces in pain immediately after he gets taken to the ground. And, he always has like a little arm shake thing that he does to like keep his loose, you know, his arm loose in between plays. But maybe this is just, maybe now that I'm just looking for it, maybe it's nothing, but I just feel like he was doing that even more so before he even got hit, in the earlier part of the game. But, you know, again, that could just be me. But anyway, the game was good. They, just from an attendance fan standpoint, they kind of had the same amount of people in the plaza level. So the additional 3,000 people that they've let in, they added that in the club level. They had that open now, and they added it in the lower terrace. It looks like they had about 10 or 15 rows in the terrace open. So I'm pretty sure that's where they added those additional 3,000 fans. And it was, I went with a friend of mine, and we both were not worried when the Saints went down 7-0, when they went down 10-0. Obviously that was before Drew got injured, but I was never really in doubt. I never really thought that they could potentially lose it. This is a veteran team. This is a good team. I always thought that they were going to come back, and they did. I walked out of the Superdome. I didn't feel like a win. It still doesn't feel like a win. You know, the Drew Brees situation is a black cloud.
Well, no, but here's the thing. Before we get into the black cloud and Jameis Winston and all the negative stuff, I just want to say the Saints became the fourth team in the Super Bowl era to have a 6-game winning streak 4 years in a row. They have 44 wins over the last 4 years. Andrew, how many years do you think it took the Saints as a franchise to get 44 wins?
Do you know the answer to this question?
I do.
Okay, 44 wins. I'm going to go with 12 years.
I'm going to go with 18.
Close. It was 1977. So from 67 to 77, they won exactly 44 games.
10 years.
Well, if you're counting the 67 and 77 season, that's 11 seasons.
11. So they average 4 wins a year their first 11 years. So I'm just saying, before we get to the rain clouds and the doom and gloom, it's been pretty fucking amazing these last 4 years. With that said, though, Andrew, it's peanut butter Jameis time, as we said in the postgame show, which everybody should listen to if they were a patron. This team, Jameis looked great to start, then cooled off. He looked a little Jameis-y to me. He threw a bad pass that should have been picked. He was jittery in the pocket. But he does look really, really thin, like awkwardly, painfully thin. And he looked amazing
it's
in the postgame
vegan
press
conference. Diet.
What was your initial thoughts of Jameis? Because we're going to get about a month of him probably.
You asking me or Dave?
I'm asking you.
Yeah, he looked very Jameis-y. I was not super impressed. I don't think he played very well. I think especially when you're up 2 scores, I mean, ball security is at a premium. So the throw that was almost intercepted in particular was awful. There was a couple throws in the red zone where he's trying to hit Michael Thomas that were grossly inaccurate. Takes a couple sacks. So, yeah, I mean, he looked like an unprepared backup quarterback, you know, that didn't take any snaps at practice and, you know, was thrown into a situation that few guys are going to be ready for. So I don't judge him for that. I certainly don't. You know, you guys know this. I'm not necessarily a Jameis Winston believer. I'm not one of these guys that thinks he's the quarterback of the future for the Saints. But at the same time, I'm not going to cast judgment and draw any conclusions from a game like that.
Teddy Bridgewater, Dave, was pretty awful last year against the Rams,
yeah,
too. Exactly. So, but here's my question to you, Dave. We're trying to figure out which is the bigger, better guest to have this week. Should we have Jameis one of one on the podcast again, or should we have a patron, Dr. Thomas Finke, to break down all of Drew's ailments? It's a tough call.
It's not a tough call, actually. Going back to, you know, what you were saying about Jameis looking like garbage in this game, I think the subtext in that is, let's wait and see what happens next week when he's got the week to prepare, when he's taking snaps with the first team, when he That's knows right. he's going to start from the beginning. So
when Sean Payton designs a game plan
right.
around him.
Yeah. Yep. Right. So with that in mind, I think you should have Jameis one of one on after that game, yeah. after we get to see Jameis full game plan, full week of practice, full game from the start. Then we have Jameis 101 to discuss how that went, good or bad. We'll find out. And this week you roll with Thomas Finke and discuss Drew Brees, yeah. especially since that's what everybody else is talking about, and that's going to get you the hits. And that's, Ralph, is why I am...
You're the brains of the operation.
I'm the brains of the operation.
Four in Malta as of 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, well, if you took more advice from me, you'd be one. You'd be one, baby.
There you go. we were two last week, so it's nothing to brag about, Ralph. We're
dropping
going
like
down.
A stone.
We're dropping.
But... The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff early. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
The Drew Brees injury sort of overshadows everything, and obviously so, because the Saints are 7-2. They're an elite team, and that's what the media and the national media and ESPN want to talk about. But I want to play this soundbite about Sean Payton when he was asked about Jameis after the game yesterday. He talked about all the injuries, the other injuries that the Saints had, and how it kind of wrecked the running game and made life for Jameis harder.
I think on a bigger note and probably less visible to you guys, you know, Josh Hill and Traquan, those are significant guys involved in the run game. And that, I would say, created also a slew of just things that we've got to be better at relative to replacements. What impacted our play calling more than anything was when Traquan and Josh went down, that all of a sudden now there's some different things you're doing with receivers relative to your blocking schemes. Jameis was up to speed on everything we were doing. I think just as importantly, at halftime, we were trying to arrange the personnel groupings to handle a lot of the stuff we were doing in the running game.
Josh Hill, Andrew, I feel like is the biggest disconnect in the fan base. Josh Hill gets injured. Saints Twitter's like, whatever. In real life, Josh Hill gets injured, and it's like a Chinese fire drill for the Saints. They're burning timeouts left and right because he's in every fucking formation they have. He's chaos. I don't know what you would describe him as in the engine that is the New Orleans Saints, but he's not like super critical, but he's pretty close. And I find it humorous that fans don't really like Josh Hill at all, but Sean Payton, whenever he gets injured during a game, that's like the first thing in his press conference. It's like Josh Hill got out and the formations were fucked.
Well, it actually felt like shades of the – it's like a more polite version of the Jim Mora soundbite where he's like, you think you know, but you really don't know. And
you never will.
There
yeah.
it is.
Continue.
So, you know, Yeah,
when,
no,
when he said things, this is less obvious to you, I believe was the quote he used.
Something that might not be as visible to you guys.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's right. fucking idiot.
Yeah. But Josh Hill is an unsung hero of this offense, and he is huge, and he's probably underpaid. I think there's guys on this team that are as capable. I think Troutman is a guy that could be a do-it-all tight end, but it's just about getting him up to speed and getting him comfortable with the offense. So that'll take time.
About the Breeze injury on Monday Night Football right now.
Here's a good question from the YouTube stream, the live stream. Dave, do you think people will blame Ruiz for getting Drew Brees killed
and his lung collapse like they did last year? I'm glad you asked me this because I was going to say, fuck that guy. Fuck Ruiz, man. This shit's on you, bro. No, I'm kidding. I'm not really that mad. But I mean, it was his fault. That was his guy to block, and he let him get past him. I don't expect anybody to be perfect, obviously.
Is Ruiz... it so much to ask to not kill our starting quarterback? to not collapse his lung?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm also starting to think that Drew Brees at 41 years old is a delicate flower that
he is.
That really he can't be is made of porcelain for crying out loud. Ruiz is going to be like, you know, the answer to that bar trivia question. You know, like, you know, just like Wally Pipp.
Who murdered
is
Drew
the guy
Brees
that went
in 2020?
Yeah, who was the guard, the offensive lineman who caused Drew Brees to end his career? where else did I want to go? I wanted to say that the one thing that I don't know why nobody's talking about this. This is the one thing that pisses me off about the Drew Brees injury. This is lost fucking time now. Now, Tom Brady in the fucking passing touchdown record.
Yeah,
fucking
right.
Tom Brady now is fucking... Honestly, it makes me... I never really hated Tom Brady that much. But, I mean, now, for some reason, I hate him even more. Maybe because he doesn't get injured every time he gets tackled. And I'm, like, frustrated because he's a year older. And he seems to be less delicate than Drew. And I feel like Drew is just... He's not aging. It's like... You know, it's like you get older and you see, you know, when you're a kid, your father is like the greatest thing and you think he's like Superman. And then you get older and your father gets older and you see him do things and you're like, wait a minute, he's just a normal guy or oh my God, he's getting older and he can't even do the things he used to. And it's like really sad. And like you go home, you lie in bed and you cry yourself to sleep and you realize like it's never going to be the same. Things are changing. We're all getting older. It's never going to be the same. And like this is... You know, I said Black Cloud earlier. This whole thing is, you know, Ralph, you always talk about how the Drew Brees farewell tour. Like, yeah, I want to enjoy this. And this is like the worst fucking thing that could have happened.
I hate to hear that.
This is like, you know, if it was like a real band and a real farewell tour, this is like if they all got COVID and had to cancel the fucking tour. You never
had
to see
it's not that. You need to relax, Dave.
But here's the thing, though. I do agree with Dave.
To take the porcelain analogy a step further, Brees is like fine china. And if you look at the games that they have Atlanta twice, they have the Broncos, they have Philly. This is like playing in the AFC East. It's as close as you get, all right, the next 4 weeks. And so I just want to say, maybe we just put the fine china back in the armoire. You know, you bust out kind of your plastic plates and your crappy silverware and
Tupperware,
you know, and
Dixie
plates. Yeah, that's your Jameis Winston and your Tamis Hilston, and that's enough to you know, eat your food and get the job done. When you're eating with less refined.
Well, let's take that
for
I'm not saying Drew's not going to come back. I'm not saying we just saw the last of Drew Brees.
But we get four less games of him now.
Look, in my head, the Drew Brees farewell tour includes winning a lot of games. It includes breaking and keeping the passing touchdown record. It includes embarrassing Tom Brady. Okay, we checked that off of the list. That's good. But and it just it the dream is dead. Like, now we've got to piece together what we can piece together.
Well,
to save this farewell tour. Okay,
I just and thought of.
I'm upset about the touchdown thing, because obviously this is Drew's last year. There's no way after this he is definitely not playing next year. This is it.
Well,
and I'm annoyed because fucking Tom Brady might play another fucking year, and
Tom
he's going to get a whole other year on Drew.
Playing another
okay?
year.
Okay, and I'm also upset because.
He doesn't get to sun the Falcons one more time because he'll miss both Falcon games. He doesn't get to own them one more time.
He's gonna miss both Falcons games too. But it's upsetting because I can't even remember. I'm just so
upset.
Well,
you know, another way to look at this is that he's gonna be spending the next four weeks maybe healing up. That he'll be maybe healthier in the playoffs than Tom Brady. If Tom Brady's running up his TD numbers, taking more hits. In these 4 weeks that Drew Brees isn't playing, you know, which one is going to be healthier when the playoffs start? That's not an obvious – there's no obvious answer there, but I know who's going to be taking hits the next 4 weeks, and it's not Brees. Okay. So
the other thing that worries me is I worry – I know this is crazy. I worry that Jameis is going to play well. Maybe even win four games. You know, he'll do the same thing Teddy did. He's going to win four games. Drew's going to get healthy. And there's going to be half of the Saints fan base is going to say, fuck it. Drew's washed up. Let Jameis finish out the season.
I think that's the best case scenario.
And that sucks. Oh,
how
you're telling
good,
me that the best
Andrew,
case scenario
but that's a good,
is people
I love, talking, I love Drew. Look, I and, love and, Drew, but I'm a Saints fan. I'm not a Drew Brees. Like, it's not Drew Brees above all. Like, if Jameis Winston is awesome and that propels us into 2021 – then hell yeah, I want that.
But here's a question though, Andrew. How good?
That's sad.
Because last year
was
bad.
Brees is the player. He's not the team.
I know well, that. But what a shitty ending for Drew Brees' career.
Hey, I gotta tell you, man.
I wanted Drew Brees to walk out on the field one last time and to a standing ovation, to some big last second win. I wanted it to be a fucking bloodbath.
Everyone wants the John Elway.
Yes,
you know, ending.
Yes,
it never happens. How did it end for Brett Favre? He had to go to Minnesota, bitter rival, only to have the Saints hand him his ass. How did it end for Peyton Manning? Like, Peyton Manning's as close as you get to John Elway. He had to go to Denver and have a defense drag his corpse for him to have his happy end.
Peyton Manning is literally the worst Denver Peyton Manning is literally the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. By statistical rating. But here's my question to you that Dave was talking about. Andrew, how good would Jameis have to play these next 4 weeks for a significant amount of Saints fans to want him to keep playing instead of Drew? Because last year with Teddy, as much as we love Teddy Bridgewater, we knew that, like, Teddy, he's going to keep it afloat. And even if we were like, if they go 3-1 or 4-1, like, we're not going to be like clamoring for Teddy to keep playing. But Jameis is a different animal in a sense of Jameis's floor is way lower than Teddy's, but his ceiling, like, Jameis can be amazing, and Jameis could be a guy where he could win the Saints a couple of these games, and we'll be like, Jameis won the Saints that goddamn ball game today, which we never said with Teddy in any of the five wins. He was just sort of there. We're like, great job, Teddy. You didn't screw it up. So how good would Jameis have to play for 4 weeks for like 35% of Saints Twitter to be like, keep him in there? Like, how great would he have to be?
Oh, 35? I don't even think it's that. I think he could go 2-2, but hit one 70-yard bomb, and that would be enough. That would be enough. They're like, oh, air yards, deep ball. Oh, my God, what is this?
He's got a positive A dot.
I've never seen this before. It's air yards. Give me this guy as my quarterback forever. Don't ever let Drew back in the building.
Dave, how tragic a mistake was it that the Saints released Tommy Stevens?
Oh, yeah. He was the savior. He was going to help us. He was going to get us out of this jam.
By the way, Andrew, tell the people on Twitter, they're trying to steal this podcast credit for creating
Jameis.
You can't even say Tamis correctly.
Jason. Yeah. I kind of like Jason, though, too. Let it be known.
He flipped it.
Yeah, Ralph, mark it down. Let it be known. You just invented Jason, too, also.
Jason.
Yeah, I saw Amy just on Twitter. The reporter was saying, well, Drew Brees created Tamis, and she posted a link to her article because he said it in a press conference. But Ralph, the day we signed Jameis, you said Tamis.
Yeah, I did, and I
literally the day the Saints signed him.
And Kevin just cackled.
We have a
the
podcast
rest of the
to
podcast
prove it
too. Because he kept just repeating it over and over again. Because we did it at like 8 a.m.
You need to find a link to that show.
I need to find that audio and
dunk
play it
on everyone.
And oh, by the way, the hotline. We'll play it. We'll get to that later. Just a tease on it. It's not the best hotline ever, but we do have international calls, and we have people confused and belligerent about how many rings they have to wait before they get to leave the voicemail. So stay for the hotline. It's pretty good this week.
That guy had a point, by the way. I wholeheartedly agree with him, which is why I thought it was so funny.
Dave, what's going on, man? Are you on like the elliptical?
No, I'm getting my tears of a Falcon beer.
Okay.
So, while Dave gets his tear of the Falcon beer, Andrew, the defense for the Saints, they had a rough start, which oh by the way, I called exactly. I said they would get off to a slow start and they would win anyway. I called it again. That's 2 weeks in a row for me. But they outscored, after falling behind 10-0, the Saints defense held the 49ers to 3 points. They looked really great. I know the 49ers are missing a ton of people, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, all of it. But what did you see about the defense? That's 2 weeks in a row. They've held teams to a combined 16 points. What are we seeing in the defense? And do you think they potentially can carry the Saints for a while, like they did last year when Teddy Bridgewater was playing?
Well, to quote Billy Madison, Saints defense, I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. No, but seriously, there's no glory or being impressed about what the Saints did on Sunday. I know that's Debbie Downer, and look, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson looked awesome.
Nick Mullins' paycheck cleared just like every other quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at the number of players that the 49ers were missing, you know, quite frankly, the first quarter was unacceptable. The first drive was unacceptable. The Saints were down 10-0. And then they win the game 27-3 following the first quarter. So those last three quarters, that's what I would expect to see given the talent on the Saints defense and the lack of talent on the 49ers side of the ball, just with the number of injuries they've had. But that being said, you know, I've long talked about kind of the three horses. This has kind of been my theme of the season, I guess you'd say, that the three horses on defense haven't shown up all year. And that's been a big reason why the Saints defense has been disappointing. And Lattimore continues to be up and down. Cam Jordan continues to be flat out disappointing. But the one guy of the three that's really turned a corner is DeMario Davis. And I thought he played his best game of the season against the 49ers. And DeMario Davis has ascended back to peak level. And so that was probably the most encouraging
Well, first of all, we have to play this. Because Anzalone only got one play the entire game. And then we get to play this.
Go Tigers.
How did Kawan Alexander look, Andrew?
Pretty good. You know, he's getting his feet wet. He's learning the scheme and everything. But, man, that one play in particular, it was a goal line run defense where he shoots the gap, blows up the play, big run stuff. That was great to see. I mean, I think just from a skill set point of view, the Saints really like having him in there because of sideline-to-sideline speed. He has good eyes. He's good instincts. We saw that at LSU. I mean, he was a tremendous player in college. So I'm excited to have him on the team. I don't know if you guys noticed this, Dave. You probably didn't since you were at the game. But at one point, you know, Kwon Alexander has like the spiky pink hair. And he had like one strand of hair sticking right out of his helmet, like one of the holes in his helmet. It almost looked like a little devil horn. I don't know. That was pretty cool.
I definitely didn't notice that. I mean, obviously, everybody could see DeMario Davis played incredible. I mean, being at the game, he was
incredible.
He was just flying all over the goddamn field. I mean, one play he's in the backfield, next play he's in the fucking secondary. I mean, he's just amazing.
That's got to be a top five game by DeMario Davis in his career with the Saints.
Top three. Maybe the best. I don't know. I haven't studied his entire career. Well, with the Jets and everything like that. But, and then the other thing I wanted to say is, yes, the Niners. They're running second, third teamers out there. But I will say, and I don't know whether this came through on the broadcast, but I mean, they made some incredible catches. I mean, they had few catches
holy cow.
I am like, most people don't make that catch. I mean, they had the one in the first quarter over the shoulder down the sideline with CJG.
The dude with the one
coverage.
Hand
the
where
one,
he goes down
one
and
I,
gets
I thought
it.
I hit off the one at midfield that I could have swore hit off the turf, and the guy amazingly caught it with one hand. And
Jordan Reed, yeah.
Yeah. There were just a couple of great catches that normally I feel like most players and most aren't going to make that play, and they just kept coming up with them every single time. So,
and I want to give out a shout out to Patrick Robinson. The Saints have called on him twice, and both times he's gotten interceptions in the end zone. The one against Detroit was bigger. This one just helped people cover the spread, which was appreciated for degenerate gamblers everywhere. But again, Andrew, this roster for the Saints.
Ralph, hold on. But I wanted to say this with Dave here because I said it on one of our daily shows, but Dave wasn't on that show. Dave, what kind of season is this? How 2020 is this that the two defensive backs that have played the best for the Saints this year are Malcolm Jenkins and Patrick Robinson? I mean, how 2020 is that?
The whole game yesterday was so freaking 2020. I mean, the muffed punts, three muffed punts.
Four.
It was four?
Yeah. Two each.
Were they talking about, like when later in the game, there was a series when the Saints were up, there was a series where Jameis went in at wide receiver for three plays.
Yep.
I don't know whether they discussed that. There was one play, then they did another play.
That was weird.
And then there were two straight plays. I mean, we've seen them do that with Drew. They did it with Drew earlier in that game, actually. So it kind of just felt like they were just, they were just doing the same thing they would normally be doing, but instead of Drew, it's Jameis going wide.
Like if Jameis is going to try to
but
throw
he actually
a
went in there, though. He did. The first time he was out there,
he's got to lose the vegan diet if he's going to go tight end and try to throw a block in line.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did on that first one.
Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you use on your balls. That's just nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I am thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help you set the mood, if you know what I mean. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off
plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
Here's a question for you. If we time traveled back, Dave, to 2012, and we told 2012 us that in 2020, Malcolm Jenkins and Patrick Robinson were going to be the key to a revitalized Saints secondary, what would 2012 us think of the 2020 Saints?
Well, I mean, like, first of all, we would assuredly assume that they were with the Saints the entire time. They didn't each go to other different teams and then come back to play that way. You know, you would just assume they just stayed on the team from 2012 all the way to 2020. I don't know. I don't know. It'd make me wonder how bad the rest of the team was.
Malcolm Jenkins is damn good, by the way.
He's been playing great.
He's good.
He's been playing great.
He's still good.
I was annoyed that he dropped that first interception. He made up for it. He's lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, their offseason has been really good. Like, they were right to bring in Malcolm Jenkins over Von Bell so far. They were right to keep Andres Pete. He's been good because they didn't have anywhere else to go at guard. Like, they were right to keep Onyemata, Andrew. Like, their offseason, for the most part, has worked out splendidly. I can't think of anything that you can look at and be like, that was a horrible decision. I mean, Ruiz hasn't worked out quite like they thought.
Oh, Anya, no, Ruiz is kind of – but, again, rookies you kind of throw out the door, I think, with just their season this year. You can't really judge them too much, you know, just with everything.
Well, except Marquez Callaway. Go ahead and judge him.
Oh, man, yeah, you can judge Callaway. That dude's a stud. Johnny on the spot, huh?
Yeah, two muff punt recoveries.
Yeah. How often does that happen? I know that. But, horse shit.
No, I just want to say about Onyemata real quick. He's almost underpaid, given what the Saints paid him and how he's produced. But I had someone ask me on the Discord channel earlier today after I did the player grades, you know, hey, what's going on with Cam? Is he seeing a lot of double teams? And, you know, I was saying – Cam's seeing less double teams in recent weeks because he's not doing anything and teams are noticing. And so frankly, like, the number of double teams he's seeing, this is nothing unique. Teams know that Cam Jordan is the Saints' best pass rusher. That's been a thing for years. So they I would say that Cam Jordan's had some attention, but nothing out of the ordinary. He's just not playing as well. And so what I noticed in this game for really the first time is that Onyemata was the one seeing a lot of double teams, and yet he was still making plays.
Yeah, I mean,
just to put a bow on everything, I just think, look, the Saints are a talented team. They are a talented team.
They are.
They have a lot of great leadership.
They win in different ways.
Exactly. You know, we've been a little doom and gloom so far on the podcast. Obviously, the Drew Brees thing upsets me. I'm assuming it upsets everybody else. You know, we're all a little uncertain about the future now because of it. And I would just say, if we want to be positive, just know that, again, this is a very talented team. They find ways to win.
I mean, I'm not...
They love each other. They get along. They have great chemistry. And in addition to that, I can't think of another team in the NFL that's better suited for an injury to their starting quarterback. Jameis is questionable. Taysom is questionable. Jason is questionable. but we've got a chance. And
the Saints,
something's going to shake out.
The Saints had the foresight
they did go 5-0
to ask Jameis
last year
if he would play
Brees
for free.
Right.
And he said yes.
What'd you say, Ralph?
I said the Saints had the foresight to ask Jameis if he would play for free, and he said yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with this year, and I think Dave makes a good point, and I'll take it even a step further. Look, 2020 is weird because of coronavirus. Home field doesn't really matter that much unless it's Green Bay and it's cold, And if they go to Royal Rumble style and nobody gets a bye, then it doesn't matter if you go 13-3 and get in or 10-6. It won't mean shit, right? You just have to get in. You just have to be healthy, which it brings me to my next point, Andrew. The one concern we can sort of talk about is you noticed it in your player grades, which, by the way, become a patron, $10 level. You get access to Andrew's grades. The offensive line, Pete got injured. Armstead got injured. McCoy, he had the RoboCop arm working. How concerned are you that the offensive line has begun its yearly descent into injury hell?
Yeah, that's a concern. If you ask me what the biggest concern about this game was, it would be the play of the offensive line. Not only did they not play great, but the combination of Ruiz and Easton isn't great. McCoy's now got the big contraption on his arm. Andres Pete seems to have aggravated his ankle. And Teron Armstead left, which is kind of left the game momentarily, which is kind of par for the course. So. Yeah, they're right on schedule. You know, the last 3 years, that's kind of been the Achilles' heels. They limp into the postseason with an offensive line that's, you know, just really banged up, and they seem right on schedule right now with just the amount of injuries. And, you know, so sometimes, like you, I just want to say, you look at Breeze, and sometimes an injury that's not going to knock you out for the year, but that forces you to be out of action for 3 or 4 weeks. Sometimes that's not the worst thing. The NFL has this worst culture, this weird culture where you play through stuff. And if you've got these nagging injuries, you just keep letting them pile up and keep playing through it.
And like in basketball, LeBron will take a month off.
Well, that's the thing. It's only 16 games, so I get that. But sometimes I just wonder if you just shut a guy down who's dealing with a lot of soreness or a lot of issues, like Breeze, he's wearing the flak jacket, right? If they had just shut him down before this game because he was already kind of, you know, compromised, maybe 2 weeks off, maybe they could have won two games with Jameis and Taysom, and they would have brought Breeze back and he would have been 100%. He's 41, though, but I'm just saying sometimes I don't get that, man. Sometimes Breeze, I'm just like, look, if these guys are really banged up, like, you've got James Hurst, you've got Nick Easton. They're not the best, but, like, throw those guys in there and let's let these guys recover for a couple weeks.
You think Tom Brady's taking a day off?
Drew Breeze played in 2015 when he had plantar fasciitis and his foot was torn in half and the Saints were 5-8 and playing the Jaguars. And he's like, nah, I'm not gonna shut it down. I'm playing the Jaguars because
it's just an interesting culture. I mean, it completely has to do with the number of games, and it's like the physical nature, and you want to be tough in football. But like, man, in baseball, you know, it's like some pitcher has a little thing in his wrist, like that doesn't feel quite right, and sometimes they shut him down for 180 days. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, he went back and started doing the long toss, and he still felt that little twinge. It's like they won't play you in baseball unless you're 100%. And it's the same thing with basketball, like you said, Ralph. Like a dude will sprain his ankle and he misses 20 games. Just like, sprain an ankle, tape that shit up and get back out there. But, you know, football's a different culture. But sometimes – so anyway, my point is are we really going to benefit when these offensive linemen keep playing through this stuff and then it's the playoffs come and they never got injured enough to miss a game, but they're just like a shell of their former selves because they're so banged up. Whereas Breeze actually got to miss 4 weeks, and maybe he's still a little banged up in his ribs, but everything else is healed, and he's actually feeling pretty good when he comes back.
That's fair. I mean, the thing for me is I just know Breeze is a psychopath, and he wants to play every week. But my question to you, Dave, before we get to the hotline, and I'm going to roast Goodell in a minute here, is despite everything that the Saints had going on, the issues, everything, Kamara, I think yesterday might have been his strongest pitch for offensive player of the year and maybe MVP, because the Saints had chaos around him, and he just scored 3 touchdowns like it was nothing. Like, and I know two of them were short, but whatever. He still looked amazing with all the problems they had, all the injuries. I'm going to put money on him 8-1 to win offensive MVP. I think it's good. I think it's good a bet.
I thought about you because I know you've been beating this drum all season, just like I've been beating my certain drums and Andrew's been beating his certain drums. Your drum this season has been Kamara for Offensive Player of the Year.
I like that drum.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think this last game really vaulted him ahead of anybody else in the conversation. MVP? I don't think so. I don't see that going to anybody that's not a quarterback. As unfair as that is, I don't make the rules, pal.
Hold on. So Ralph's thing all year has been Kamara for MVP or Offensive Player of the Year. Dave, yours has been Drew Brees, arm truther, give the man some respect.
Farewell
and
tour.
What's mine been? Has it been Cam Jordan sucks? What
I don't know. What do you want? You get to stake your claim.
So much pressure. I don't know. I thought you had one in mind when you were giving these labels.
No, nothing really jumps off the page at me, to be honest with you. We'll think about that one.
Okay.
What were we talking about?
No, I was just talking about Drew Brees fighting through it. But this is my next thing I want to talk about. And this, if the Saints, Andrew, if they lose compensatory picks because they did a celebration after the Tampa game and put it on their Twitter feed and Instagram, and the NFL is threatening them to fine them big money and draft picks, if it was only the Saints, maybe. I counted 4 fucking teams did the same exact thing last week. Okay, celebrations in the locker room, dancing, having fun. But oh no, we're going to use the Saints as a safety facade to pretend like we are doing the best and we're following all the COVID protocols. Get the fuck out of here with that. I'm tired of it. Goodell, it's fucking horrible. They better not fine the Saints. They better not take away these compensatory picks we've been waiting our whole lives to get. Because the Saints did a dance because they humiliated Tom Brady.
They take away a compensatory pick, I swear to God. Yeah. I hear you.
So.
Good point.
So here's the thing.
Let's wait and see because they I know the Broncos got caught. Or the Broncos were celebrating no masks. I saw Jeff.
Yeah, but that wasn't the Saints. That's less offensive, you know.
Well, I'm just saying. Let's see what happens. If they get fined, you know, they just need to be fair and equal.
They didn't have their classless head coach dancing with DeMario Davis doing his terrible dance moves, you know. I actually think Sean Payton's dance moves are kind of funny. I don't know why he gets so much grief for that.
Yeah,
I mean, that was awesome.
Whenever people talk about Sean Payton dancing, I just think of him when he was on the year suspension and he was like down at the sandals in Bahamas and just grinding on that woman. That video came out.
I did see that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Connor's
a patron. I don't know if we should talk about that.
I don't know. It's out there. They know.
It's out there.
So,
what was I going to say? You know, the thing about Sean Payton, man, is this week, I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter, but we already have Atlanta reporters going full hashtag classless. They were very angry at Sean Payton for only taking 7 minutes in his presser and being very annoyed and quick to hang up and not wanting to talk about Drew Brees' injury. and then saying just how great Raheem Morris is and how he gave him a full 15 minutes. And the hashtag classless is already hitting.
Dude, they think Monday is short, wait until they get a load of the Wednesday Sean Payton press conference that's going to be like 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And I speak from experience because I listen to them and record them for me and Andrew for the patrons for the preview podcast, right, Andrew, to play the sound. His Wednesday one, if it goes over 6 minutes, consider yourself lucky. Like, he is in and out. He's got places to be, dude. So
yeah, he's dropping a next question on Wednesday. It's coming. It's happening.
So
We got to get to the hotline before we get to the Discord channel questions and the Twitter questions.
Actually, the Breeze thing is not the drum that Dave has been banging. It's the hotline.
Yeah, no.
To be honest.
It is.
I've got two drums.
The hotline is Dave. The hotline is Dave.
I've got
baby.
A whole drum kit.
Dave, you explain it. They're mad about the rings.
Basically, it's just somebody made the astute point that, you know, nobody's going to answer this phone. It goes straight to voicemail. So why do you have to sit there and wait for it to ring five or six times before the voicemail picks up? How come? Is there some setting, Ralph, that you can make that where as soon as somebody calls, it goes straight to the voicemail instead of having to listen to it ring five times?
I cannot. I cannot.
Because I've made the same observation. Because I've called the hotline. Well, no, I never called the hotline. Now.
Ralph, I think the we're having some major problems here.
We're having major problems with the stream or with everything?
Yeah. Well, no, I hear you and Dave fine. It's just YouTube looks like it keeps crashing.
How about now? Check it now. Right. Sorry about that, gentlemen. My computer went blue screen. What do you want?
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff early. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
But no, this hotline, the contempt from people... And even the international guy from the UK, he was very contemptuous. But I have to say, I kind of deserved it. So let's just get to it. This week's hotline, here it is. It's time for this week's hottest takes from the Saints Happy Hour Hotline.
I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag reign and days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line.
As we've learned with anything in 2020, it's all just a bunch of horse shit.
So fuck it. That's it. That's the voicemail. That's it. That's it. Play me on the show. Don't play me on the show. I don't give a fuck.
Sitting on my back porch because I was about to call y'all and give you a fucking rant about the fact that I'm fucking pissed off that Drew Brees is injured and all the fucking 49ers injuring F's and everybody fucking and we're still 7-2 and I shouldn't be pissed off about that. And then what happens? My fucking gutter falls off my fucking house. So that put an end to the fucking rant that I was gonna give you. So fuck the Falcons, fuck Tom Brady, and fuck the 49ers, and go Saints.
All right, guys, I ain't got a clue if you're going to get this, and if you do get it, it might cost me my kidney, because I'm calling from England. It's 20-1. I've got to get up for work in 3.5 hours, but I just wanted to say, a wise man once said, show me the turnovers, and I'll tell you who won the game, and that's your host, Ralph Marlboro. So well done on that one. What a game. Goodbye, San Francisco. Did we just top the NFC? I have no idea. And listeners, listen, I've got a message for you. If you're not a patron, for the love of God, become a patron, because it's a lonely place in England to be a Saints fan, and I need this podcast to stay alive forever. So for the love of God, sign up. And I don't normally curse, but what the hell, let's go for it. Fuck Roger Goodell. Fuck the refs. Fuck the Falcons. And Dave, for the love of God, unmute yourself.
How far can we go into the postseason relying on the Thomas Morstead bank shot off the other team to Marquez Callaway play? Because as best I can tell, that's how we survived today.
Seems to work just fine.
I'm happy about the defense. I'm mad about the offense. The correct answer is both. Yes, cheers. Let's drink our beers and pretend that none of this happened and that we're going to be better next week. We won't, but let's pretend so. Hey, go Saints, do that. There is a thing about Taysom Hill. As a Mormon, the man can't drink alcohol. So he does all he can to make sure that I drink all the alcohol for him. See, it's a fair trade-off, you know. He can't, so I do, and he's going to put me in the grave pretty soon.
I'd like to acknowledge that Nicholas Clayton Mullins looks like he just ran into his childhood nightmare. An assessment of... oh, shit. I can't read my own writing. Maybe one day I'll leave a valid message to be... Okay. Nope, I got it. An assessment of the position of his eyebrows on every snap makes me feel like he's so scared. So now that
we're
I
back
was
on track.
Ready to listen to some phone rings and not get so bent out of shape about it, which I apologize for that, even though I haven't. Anyway, I just saw Malcolm Jenkins. It looked like he wanted to cry. And then and that's initially what I was calling about. But as the phone and here we go back to the ringing of a hotline phone number. Anyways, okay. But as the phone was ringing, then he makes an interception. So maybe when he looks like he's going to cry, I mean, maybe he's going to make a great play. I don't know. Like, this is first. No. It's top. Top. Not first. It's top. Top-notch analysis. You can't get this from anywhere else. Not even from your podcast. I mean, from my own. No, I wouldn't. Still love listening to y'all. There's no way I could ever compete. I love y'all. Later.
Wow. Alcohol.
He finished strong, but he was rambling and incoherent in the middle.
I don't know, Ralph. You said this wasn't the best. This might have been my all-time favorite.
This might be the best.
This was sneaky good. This was sneaky good.
I don't know if you can find a way to make this just affordable for the international calls. Like, I don't know if you can do a Dropbox or something, but the accent, the British accent, any accents that we can get, I just
classes
it
so up
much better too.
It classes
it
up.
So
it really does.
Yeah, it did feel a little classy, didn't it?
It did. It felt like Men in Blazers class it up really good.
That was great. Thanks for delivering, as always, patrons. Yes, Fredo, you're absolutely right. If you live in Malta, I swear to God, if you live in Malta and you leave us a message, I will send you something amazing.
Only because we need to know what a Maltese accent sounds like. We have
yes.
no idea.
Yes, please call. If you're from Malta, please call the hotline.
And I want to give a shout out to Brett, a patron who is in the Discord channel a lot.
Mm.
He has the Rona, and he is in the hospital. I'm going to send him something. Brett, we are thinking of you. Get well soon, my man. Andrew?
And Brett, I know he had tickets to the game this weekend, and he can't go, so Dave is going in his stead.
Yeah, so I bought them from him, and I'm gonna represent him proudly, and I think we're gonna get the win for Brett this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Before we get to game predictions, though, it's time for the craze that is sweeping the world, sweeping the nation, and it's question time. Dave, did I not look good today on Channel 4?
My wife
hooked me up. She got me dressed with the blazer, the black shirt. She had
really
she did help me do my
she
hair.
She qualified.
I look good.
I might go check it out right now. For some reason, the videos will not play on a mobile device, so I have to go to a desktop to watch it. And I didn't do that this morning. I'm gonna go check it out right now. See what I can see.
So. All right, here we go. We got questions, Andrew. With Breeze, this is from CJ. With Breeze being out, do I need to up my drinking game to make up for the loss? Thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, listen, I think sometimes we think about this all wrong. Drew gets injured, we get all upset and like Dave go all the end is nigh and all that. But think of it this way. How amazing would it be if Jameis, A, plays amazing and lights up the Falcons? B, how amazing would it be if Jameis Winston plays awful and the Falcons actually have a chance to beat us because Drew Brees is out, and we still find a way to win. So, like, kind of either way would be an amazing thing, and I'm here for it because I'm a Saints fan, and, like, I love Drew Brees. He's probably going to end up being my favorite all time when it's all said and done, but I am going to be a fan. I've been a fan long before Brees ever joined the team, and I'll be a fan long after he leaves. So, like, I'm still here for whatever drama the Saints give me, and I hate the Falcons, and I want to beat them. Dave, let's not forget that. It is Falcons Hate Week.
Dave, what would be more fun Sunday? Jameis Winston throwing for 450 and 5, and the Saints win, like, 56-10.
That sounds like a lot of air yards.
Yeah. Or the Saints blow the Falcons out. Would you rather that, or would you rather the Falcons get ahead 28-3, Jameis leads the comeback, Saints win? What would be
number
more
two,
fun?
Not even.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not even a question.
Not even close. I mean, number one was sounding really good, and I was getting really excited, and I was ready to vote for that one. But
frankly, I'm not sure a Super Bowl title feels better than the second thing you proposed there.
Yeah. We could just be like, that's a wrap. We're going to call it off. 2020's done. We're just, the Saints are going
to
be like George
Costanza.
You could just
have your own wreck the rest of the season.
They're going to leave on a high note. This is from Enriquez. If we win the Super Bowl with Jameis, what day do we hold the Bacchus Parade in Metairie with Jameis one of one as King of Bacchus?
Is that for me or Dave?
That's for you, Dave.
Wait, that's for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, you guys don't hear my computer playing, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm gonna watch Ralph's. I'm watching Ralph's appearance right now as we speak. Maybe I'll even like. Can I like live? Do it live.
What
was the question about Bacchus? What was it?
Jameis one of one.
Jameis one of one will be Bacchus.
He would be the king of Bacchus.
I don't think there's gonna be a Mardi Gras this year. So I guess we could just go ahead and make him the king of Bacchus in that case.
Yeah. Andrew, do we have Discord questions?
Let me check. My dad is in the chat right now, and he says, how about I sponsor a subscription for an overseas patron? There you go. If you're overseas and you're currently not a patron, my dad is offering to sponsor you.
Yeah. And by the way, I understand that the VAT tax, if you do the annual subscription, it's like ridiculous. So if you're overseas and you're thinking of doing the annual subscription, do it. We'll throw something extra in the booze bundle box for you as a thank you. And by the way, we shipped out 4 international ones, including I'm not going to butcher your name, but there's a patron from Tanzania. Just gonna say it.
Well, you got the
no. Please do butcher the name.
I'm shocked Ralph didn't mispronounce the country. So that's,
Inclalio? Inclalio is his name,
boy.
I think.
Oh, boy. No way, that's right.
Yeah. That's, all right, we actually have a lot in the Discord. All right, Skip Stevens.
I have a lot of questions for Ralph about his performance on
today?
WWL TV this morning.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrew.
All right, we got a lot here, so let's see. Dave, I'll start with you. It looks like Arik Armstead of the 49ers tested positive for the Rona. Could this sneaky be the biggest impact of the season? If the O-line room becomes drenched in Rona, to quote Ralph, we're fucked way bigger than Drew or any of the other injuries. What if it forces a wild card playoff shootout thing with the NFL?
This one question?
basically he's asking, what do we do if Arik Armstead gave our whole offensive line the Rona? I think that's basically what he's asking.
I think they'd probably wind up postponing the game, so I don't even think it would be an issue.
True.
Yeah.
All right, Hudak Golfer says, in an effort to keep similar play calling and offensive game planning, should the Saints try to sign 2002 Chad Pennington? Ralph.
Definitely.
Oh, wow. Wait, Nick Foles is getting carted off the field.
Oh, my God.
Ew. It's Trubisky time, baby.
Oh, that's right. They're bringing Trubisky back. It looks like it's some kind of lower. Oh, maybe. Ooh.
Ain't no party like a troops party because a troops party don't stop.
Dave, is it illegal to. This is Tara Reek wanting to know, is it illegal to eat roasted falcon for Thanksgiving?
No.
It's just illegal that is to do it with like more than six family members.
Ooh, this is another. Dave, right. I'm going back to back with Dave here. This is a good one for you. This is from Chris McKay, or McVeigh, sorry. How many Olive Garden breadsticks will it take to make Jameis look like a healthy weight again?
Like two. Do you know, I listened to, it's funny that you asked me this question. I listened to a podcast, The Doughboys, and they every episode is a review of a national restaurant or supermarket or whatever. And they did one on Olive Garden, which I, of course, had to listen to. It was the first one I listened to. Those breadsticks are like 5,000 calories a piece. Like, they are, like, ridiculous. You don't want to eat them, but at the same time, you do want to eat them.
You do.
This goes to what Dave was melting down about earlier, Ralph, but this is from Balky. Why the fuck does God keep letting a stand-up guy like Breeze get injured while douchebaggington Tom Brady stays healthy?
I don't know. I think Tom Brady has clearly – he's clearly either made a deal with the devil or he is the devil himself. Therefore, he's immortal. That's my theory, Balky.
Surprising. I think I said that right this time.
Yeah.
Instead of Sir Prison. Surprising wants to know, how likely is it that the Niners manage to keep taking the Saints players out over the next couple of weeks, Ralph?
Oh, my God. The 49ers, they murdered poor Pierre Thomas in 2011. Jabari Greer ended his career in 2013. They might have ended Breeze. Fuck the 49ers, man. I hate the 49ers almost as much as I hate the Falcons. Like, they have caused me personally so much pain. If California fell in the ocean, I wouldn't feel bad. That's how much I hate the 49ers.
All right, I got a few more. Let's keep them coming. All right, Dave, if this is from Hoodat, H-O-O. I think that's actually a UVA Charlottesville reference, but Hoodat wants to know if that was indeed the end for Drew, and God, I hope not. How appropriate to go out on a TD TD throw to cap that 2-minute drive?
Yeah, honestly, the fact that it was a TD throw as his last play, that's what has me concerned. It's like, oh yeah, that's how Drew's going to go out. This is it. He's never coming back now. I just watched his last touchdown pass. That's how it ends. I really don't think he's not done. Absolutely.
No. If anything, the thing you got to worry about with Drew is that he'll come back too soon, right?
Yeah.
Like he'll force his reentry. All right, Ralph, this is more of a comment than a question, but Hoodat Wayne asks, is Ruiz going to be a guard or center because it's not looking too good at guard? fair enough. Ralph, if this is from your boy Alan. Would you give Drew a rib or lung to get the Saints a Super Bowl victory? What body part is your limit?
I mean, I can give him a rib. I can't give him any muscles in my back because they're all inflamed. You don't want any of that.
That might make him worse.
It might make it worse. I can't. You know what? Now that I think about it, I probably can't give Drew anything from my left side because it's just total garbage. So, like, I can give him a rib from the right side. I can give him a 10. I mean, I'll do whatever it takes. I want another Super Bowl. It's fun.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Whatever you do, Ralph, just don't give him your liver, please. All right, last one, Ralph. I'll give this one to you, too. This is from Thomas Finke, since you're an Onyemata stan. He wants to know, has Onyemata reached a level of performance that rivals or surpasses Rankin's at his best two seasons ago?
No, it's getting close, though. It's getting close. But Rankin's, the final, 5 weeks of 2018 was the Saints' best defensive player. And I know your grades say that Onyemata is, but yesterday you saw it that DeMario Davis or even Lattimore, if he would play to his standards, is the best player on the defense, I think. So Onyemata's got a ways to go, but he's getting really close, Andrew. He's getting really close, and I'm here for it because I'm president of the Onyemata fan club.
Okay, so I was just watching your WWL TV interview.
Here we go.
I like the blazer. Very nice. Nice touch.
His wife picked that up.
Okay. Well,
my wife.
I figured. I didn't think.
I mean,
Ralph,
I'm colorblind.
What
do you expect?
No chance.
Now, this is like week three in a row now with Leslie Spoon and no Paulson. What's
That's
going
right.
on? Has Paulson backed out? Is he?
Well, I don't know, man. I think,
What's
you know,
going
he hasn't,
on?
He hasn't, I haven't been on with Paulson since I came off the top rope, Macho Man style.
That's
your answer right there.
That's
Dave.
What I'm saying. I think did Paulson tap out?
Did he
wuss out?
I might have to ask Sheba. I might have to DM her on the Twitters.
I'll text Sheba. I'll get an answer.
They moved me to 545. I know you don't like me. You don't like me and
right
Leslie
now.
Spoon because she treats me with respect. And you don't like
Yeah,
that.
There's no there, – yeah, it's – yeah. Paulson was your straight man. I mean, it's not – it's like a normal morning
normal,
chat with Leslie Spoon. Leslie's lovely. I've met Leslie also. She's been in the store before.
Yeah.
Also, we didn't talk about Jameis's post-game press conference outfit.
No, we didn't. He looked amazing. He looked amazing.
Senate on the morning show or Jameis post game.
I mean, Ralph didn't have a tie. Ralph had like a black.
I had a black.
Had like
Saint,
a black
it's a,
shirt.
It's
Ralph
a Saint
was going
shirt.
For like a Tom.
It's a black
like
Saint
Cruise
shirt.
Casual.
I was gonna say Ralph kind of looked like he was in Manhattan, ready to go out for a martini.
Yeah. Somebody said
like
I needed to go.
Yuppie looking.
Somebody said I needed to go on Twitter. Somebody said I needed to go turtleneck, and I should make Leslie call me Professor Cripple, which is funny, but also kind of mean to me. But my wife just says it's offensive.
You can't. My wife. Honestly, it was probably a Saints happy hour shirt. It was probably Ralph just put on a blazer over a Saints happy hour.
I could do that next week, man. I only got Dave. I'm gonna change the shirt. The blazer stays because that's the only one I got.
You only have one jacket?
I only have one jacket, man. What?
You don't ever go to like formal functions? You need to wear a suit?
Jesus, God, no. I have the one jacket, and I have like a suit. That's it.
But, okay, well, you can wear the suit jacket, you know, as an alternate.
Maybe.
Mix it up a bit.
All right.
Seeley,
so,
go buy the jacket. Go
so
get another
we
got to
get Saints, Falcons. There's no line on the game because.
None?
There's no line because Vegas not put it up. They're not going to put it up until the Saints, at least. The Saints probably aren't going to. They aren't going to announce who's going to start because remember they did that nonsense against Seattle last year where Sean Payton was like, I don't know who's going to start. Is it going to be Bridgewater? Is it going to be Taysom? You just have to wait and see. But I think Vegas, once the injury report comes out and Drew Brees doesn't practice, then they'll set the line, assuming it's Jamin. So I'm going to set it. I'm going to pull a number. I'm going to set it at 5.5, Dave. So the Saints are a 5.5-point favorite against the Falcons. Who you got?
Oh, this is, they're favored by 5.5. If I'm betting, I'm taking the Falcons. But, you know, for the purposes of this podcast, obviously I'm going to say the Saints are going to win. But it's going to be close. It's not going to be easy. We're gonna be chewing our nails out for sure. And
last year in the dome, it was a disaster. Like,
I'd love to get another one or
start
two.
To finish.
Love to get another one or two more Morstead bank shots. That'd be great. Those are those are a big help, man. No, I don't know. It's Saints Falcons. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. I really, really don't. All I'm going to say is the Saints are going to win, and it's probably going to be by a field goal. And I was close last week, Deontay ran one back like 75 yards. I'm still picking him. He's going to take a kick or a punt. Back for a touchdown. That's my prediction. Score, I'll go with honestly, I'll go not even 3 points, 1 point. I'll go 28-27 Saints.
Andrew, who you got?
Dave, you're dead wrong. It's going to be the Tamus Hill party. Taysom Hill is going
to
run for.
He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Taysom Hill is going to run for 2 touchdowns. Jameis is going to throw for another 4. They're going to have a platoon system. They're both going to play about 60-40 snaps. I'll say 60 for Winston. But they're both going to play a ton. They're both going to light up the Falcons, who are 31st in the league against the pass.
Oh my
and
God.
29th in overall defense. That defense is way bad. And the Saints are going to have this platoon system at quarterback and embarrass them. I'm going to say 38-17 Saints, but my star of the day is going to be the resurrected Cam Jordan. He's finally going to show up to the party. He's going to get himself a couple sacks. Ralph, I hope you're recording this, and I hope you play this back next week.
You really want
to
hit your swag into that star,
like star of the day for the Saints.
That would be amazing because nobody enjoys clowning on the Falcons more than Cam Jordan. Like, he lives for that. So if he could have a giant, like, I mean, any time you can have a great game, it's fun. But for him to do it against Atlanta would be delightful. I'm going to say this is hard because I'm scarred from last year where I went to the Dome last year and Atlanta just housed the Saints. And that's my recency bias, as Andrew would call it. But I'm going to say Saints – 42, Atlanta 38. 42. And I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen, but the Saints are going to score four touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and Atlanta,
what?
The Falcoholic is going to be like football erotica. We're just going to go to it after the game because Atlanta will blow yet another game when they have a win probability above 95%. That's my prediction.
I like that. Who's your player of the day?
Dear Penthouse Forum.
He looks like a star of the
day. The Falcons were up by 14 points.
I got to say, if my in my scenario, the only person that can be star of the day is Jameis. Like, Jameis is just going to – he's going to throw Atlanta into the lead, and then he's going to throw the Saints back into the lead in victory. Like, it's going to – he's going to give us the full Jameis. It's going to be, like, four touchdowns and, like,
Jameis,
two or three.
So, Jameis, I saw he's thrown seven picks in his last four games against the Falcons.
Yeah.
And Deion Jones, as Nicholas says, is his kryptonite. So, that's – Tom – Sean Payton's going to have to fix that first and foremost.
Yeah.
No more of that stuff.
You know how you fix that? Hand it off to Taysom.
You mean LaDavius?
Yeah, that'll work too. My God. If ever there was a time, honestly, if ever there was a time where let's get him going, let's get him in a rhythm, let's use him, let's dedicate to him, this is it. This is LaTavius Murray's music. It's not going to happen, but this is his music.
You know, because
he's not
going
to be allowed on the dance floor.
It could
he's just going to be off to the side on the dance floor, just really jamming to his favorite song, but he's not going to be allowed to go out onto the dance floor and really break it down.
Well, no, I want to make this prediction. You know, we knew Drew could never catch a pass because it was off limits for Taysom to throw him the ball. Jameis is going to throw a touchdown, run for a touchdown, and catch a touchdown.
Nice.
Sunday. How about that? So
I like it.
Sorry for the technical difficulties in the live stream. Apologies. Totally my
on
fault.
Brand.
My...
Oh, techno music. Techno music.
Oh, yeah. Let me find the... Apologies on the live stream collapse. That was totally my bad.
On brand.
On brand. Hey, man, that's the first time in like a couple months we've had a technical difficulties. And in technical, for us, a 2-minute blackout is on the scale of horrible, is doesn't even rate. So consider yourself lucky. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's MIA, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed. Enjoy your hate week.